Spotlight.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Spotlight. I am Nishit Kumar, and today we'll be discussing about External Affairs Minister Dr. Jaishankar's statement in Parliament on the current situation in West Asia. And to discuss more about it, we have with us today Mr. K.V. Prasad, political analyst. Welcome, Mr. Prasad, to the show.
Thank you.
We also have a report from Prasar Bharati's special correspondent in Dubai. He has a detailed report on the latest updates. Let's first listen to his report.
Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps has said that strikes were part of a coordinated operation against Israeli targets and allied facilities in the region. Bahrain also reported a drone strike in the Al Mamir oil complex. The developments have heightened concerns over the safety of energy infrastructure and shipping routes across the Gulf and global energy supplies, particularly through the Strait of Hormuz. Kuwait's national oil company says it has reduced crude production as a precaution amid threats to maritime routes. Oil prices surged past $100 a barrel, a four-year high, prompting G7 finance ministers to meet today to discuss possible joint release of strategic reserves. Bahrain's national oil company has also declared force majeure as a conflict continues to threaten energy facilities. Russian President Vladimir Putin has congratulated Iran's new supreme leader and offered solidarity. Iran's Revolutionary Guard has pledged full support to the new leadership, saying the country is prepared for a prolonged confrontation and warning of the possibility of a highly intense six-month war. Iranian officials also claim that only first and second generation missiles have been used so far, indicating that more advanced long-range weapons remain in reserve. Diplomatic efforts to contain the crisis remain uncertain. The United States has warned that the conflict could be prolonged, while President Donald Trump said he has not ruled out deploying ground troops to secure nuclear facilities if required. This is Vinod Kumar for Akashwani News from Dubai.
The West Asian crisis has escalated to a critical juncture, with most of the Gulf countries getting involved in it. And for India, it's not just a distant geopolitical event, but has a wider ramification on economic stability and safety, etc. So, Mr. Prasad, the West Asian crisis, as we all know, which started on the 28th of February, is showing no signs of ebbing with each passing day. Rather, it has snowballed into a major conflict now. How do you see this?
Well, this is a very worrying factor because, in fact, the escalation and the way Iran had initially reacted and by attacking the bases in the Gulf region where the did not go down well with the Gulf countries, and then of course what you're just saying, the escalation had to, as a natural corollary to that, the situation is, you mentioned it very appropriately, it's worrying West Asia. There are several countries in that region where India has deep interests. The biggest of course is our 1 crore people who working there or our Indian community and spread across several. So already there is an issue, what's going to happen. Their safety and security is paramount for India. That's number one, of course. The larger implication, everybody knows, is the India's dependence on the import of energy from that region. With the kind of blockade or the Hormuz Strait being closed to any shipping, this is adding to the pressures. As of now, things are okay, but if this continues, this is certainly going to be spiraling into something more for in the neighborhood, of course, India. Both is not just imports and dependence of energy, but also exports to the region gets affected, Nishit.
Absolutely. Speaking in the parliament amidst the uproar, the External Affairs Minister, Dr. Jaishankar, said that Prime Minister Narendra Modi is in contact with leaders from West Asia to ensure the safety of the Indian community. Let's listen into what he said.
Honorable Prime Minister himself has spoken to the President of UAE, the Amir of Qatar, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, the Crown Prince of Kuwait, the King of Bahrain, the Sultan of Oman, the King of Jordan, and the Prime Minister of Israel. In each case, we received assurances that the well-being of the Indian community would be a priority for the host government. I have similarly been in close touch with my counterparts in these countries. Insofar as the United States is concerned, we have maintained regular contacts through diplomatic channels.
So, Dr. Prasad, India, as you also mentioned in your opening remarks, has a larger stake so far as energy requirements are concerned. Of course, that is one. And also the trade that we have with the West, with the Gulf countries, that is of also paramount importance. Your views on that?
So we just heard the foreign minister tell the parliament today what India's assessment of the situation. And of course, We all know about that India's dependent on energy for the region. Much has been talked about it. Energy, not just in forms of petrol, but we also are requiring the LNG, liquefied natural gas, and most importantly, fertilizers. Now, that has a direct connect to some other aspect of India, that is the exports. And when I mention exports, we look at exports primarily. One big region is the agriculture and food exports to the West Asia region. Now, for instance, in 25, it's estimated almost $11 to $12 billion of food exports, agriculture and food exports to the region. Of this, almost 4.43 or something is what is called the rice exports, almost 36% of this basket. Now, what this will do? I mean, there is a consumption of Indian basmati in Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq. Now, if this goes down because of the transits are stopped, there's no way for exports to go from here because of the uncertain conditions. The cost of transportation itself will shoot up because of we already read reports about, apart from the closure of Strait of Hormuz, traveling to that region, the insurers are not ready because of the high cost of damage potential, number one. Now, what does that do? That will affect your farmers in India, both in north and south of India. And remember, this is just one product, but it constitutes a big basket. There's another element which people refer to is paper and paperboard exports. Now, again, West Asia, 30% of our exports go to the region. So this is just one or two issues we look at it at this level.
Absolutely. Mr. Prasad, we all know that nearly 10 million or 1 crore of Indians, you know, they live and work in the Gulf region. And while 67,000 Indians have already returned home as of now, there is still a majority of them stuck there. Even the External Affairs Minister, Mr. Jaishankar, made a statement today in the Parliament that the ongoing conflict is of particular concern to India as it is a neighboring region, and that the Indian government is watching and monitoring the situation very closely. Especially Prime Minister is continuing monitoring the emerging developments, and relevant ministries are also coordinating to ensure effective responses. Dr. Jaishankar also added that the conflict has continued to intensify and the security situation in the West Asian region has deteriorated significantly. Now, with such kind of a workforce, you know, living there, be it the businessmen, the business class, the students, and also the visitors and others, how do you see the safety of them? Because the Indian government has ensured that the Indians could, you know, use the neighboring countries, be it Oman or Yemen or the Saudi, even Armenia, to cross over. How do you see this?
That's a major concern because these numbers are staggering. I mean, 10 million people or 1 crore Indians in that region. They're a big potential workforce. And remember, they also are, I think, sizable contribution to Indian remittances from the region. Almost, if I'm not mistaken, something the tune of 40% of our extra remittances come from that region. That being the case, I think the External Affairs Minister's statement today did mention that India has three guidelines. One, of course, is this favor for peace, which you just mentioned. De-escalation is what they expect. Dialogue. I think the most second significant was that well-being and security of Indian community. Now, and I think to that extent, External Affairs Minister did mention in the House that the Prime Minister had already spoken to leaders of UAE, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Bahrain, Jordan and Israel, and also took up this issue, thanked them for looking after the Indian community. But at the same time, I think that statement also referred to one important issue that you mentioned about the number of Indians who have come back. I think the figures that they said, as and when a little bit of window of airspace was opening up, India has routed flights, special flights from the region. And by this evening, the 150 special flights would have taken place. That's the figure given. But this could go up and go down depending on how the situation flares up or subsides, number one. As of now, we don't see any improvement in that situation. And you mentioned in the beginning that the escalation is increasing. We don't know what. And how do you get them out? How many people are willing to come? Because many are workforces there. They have their own commitments, their own contracts that they need to look at it. So all these are issues. So we'll have to, this is an evolving situation. And as the Prime Minister Modi's government always has mentioned, it's always the whole of the government approach in terms of crisis like this. Of course, it'll be the whole of the government approach. That's the way it looks initially.
Absolutely. Mr. Prasad, coming back to energy security now, Strait of Hormuz, that's the hot potato, all of us know. The lockdown is wreaking havoc with energy supply chains. You also mentioned in your remarks that India is almost importing 60% of crude from the Gulf. And the crude touched intraday today 120 $1 per barrel, Mr. Prasad, and it's showing no signs of ebbing, and the war is also kind of, you know, the secession is nowhere in sight. So what could be the repercussions, especially when we know the inflationary effect of, you know, this oil and crude thing?
The first good side of it is India has reserves. That's what the government has mentioned for a considerable period of time. But then the situation, as we know, one can't sit on, you know, whatever we have. We also need to start planning forward. And you just mentioned the price crossing 120 or touching 120. On the side, we've increased the supply of Russian oil, which of course is, you know, brings down the pressure to that extent. But we have to do the contingency planning, as they call. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, there was a report a day ago which talked about one of the bank research team put out that $10 price would lead to some X BP points of inflation, so 25 or 30 points. So I'm just giving an estimated point. So that has to have an inflationary effect, number one. Energy, petrol is one issue, but most important, LNG. Now, when you have LNG, all of us know we use it for fuel, we use it for domestic fuel. And most importantly, the flip side of it is this is all, LNG is also required for our domestic fertilizer production. The plants which are gas-run plants, for instance, the 10 million tons of urea that India was estimated to bring in comes from, you know, majority of them comes from this region, Oman, Gulf countries, as they call, whether it's nitrogen, whether it is diammonium phosphate, DAP or MOP. I mean, all these are real things that you're going to face as we go along. We could be comfortable for the short time, but as I said, there will be a contingency plan which the government must already been looking into it, because that's hinted already very clearly said in the minister's statement in Parliament today that the government of India is keeping a close vigil on the situation, and obviously everybody's working for a future nation.
Absolutely, Mr. Prasad, you mentioned about the fertilizer industry. Let's not forget the paint industry, the tire industry and other allied industries which are heavily dependent on crude supplies. And we just saw the bloodbath that we witnessed today in the Indian capital markets, and of course the other markets, the emerging markets, as well as the developed stock markets as well. But coming back to the minister's statement in the Parliament today, how significant do you see the statement of Mr. Jaishankar, especially when we see that the Indian government has been continuously, you know, in a hyperactive mode so far as the safety and security of the Indian citizens, the Indian diaspora is concerned? It's not just limited to the Gulf countries. Even earlier, Mr. Prasad, we have seen whenever the Indian diaspora has been stuck in similar situations in other parts of the world, the Indian government has been really, really been proactive. Your views on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is something what is called is the duty of the government to, you know, come to the aid of its own community wherever they are. And we have seen it in the past. Evacuations have taken place of not just Indian nationals, some foreign nationals too were evacuated at point of time. Several world leaders, when they come to India, do thank India for the kind of the rescue work or evacuation work they did in times of crisis. Now, as I mentioned, this is very important because we have, the numbers are huge and the entire region is affected. It's not just one country or two countries, and the routes are very difficult. You mentioned about some people have been asked to move to the near border, Armenia or probably Oman. You know, how do you move them out from where they are and making sure they go through safe passages, because the whole area is under conflict. One doesn't know where the conflict can, you know, lead to some kind of a damage potential is there. So, and of course, we have the Indian missions operating in, you know, highest priority giving at this time. So it's a very difficult situation. I'm sure there are no easy answers as of now, but then everybody's into it. And I think, as you mentioned, in the past, we've done it. But again, the situation is slightly different this time. But you'll have to find a way out from what is available, Nishit.
Absolutely. Thank you so very much, Mr. Prasad, for having joined us and shared your views. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.